If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. We are here in the mobile studio at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. And at least today it is sunny versus the rain we had earlier this week that almost literally flooded the entire show, actually shutting down the Google booth, which is right here next door to us. But we've been nice and dry here in the mobile studio talking to thought leaders, innovators, and founders of companies that are doing some really interesting technologies. We have another guest here with us in the studio today. So, JC, welcome to Killer Innovations.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks for having us.
So, you and I know each other because your involvement with the Cable Labs Federator, the UpRamp Federator program that we run, which goes off and identifies companies that we think are doing some really interesting work and working on what we call that product market fit for specific industries. Mm-hmm. So, but before we get into the company, device bits and understanding all of that, give us a little background on yourself. What's your history?
Sure. Yeah. Was always a techie most of my life, I guess, even growing up, and, found myself.
Where'd you grow up at?
Grew up in Columbus, Ohio.
So, oh, really? I'm Cincinnati.
All right.
I'm a Buckeye.
So you're a Buckeye.
I'm a Buckeye.
So went to school there and ultimately graduated with an electrical engineering degree and pursued research at Bell Labs Innovations, yep. So the former Lucent Technologies, and found my way to Silicon Valley during the dot-com boom and bust, and had the opportunity to either move back to the East Coast where Lucent was based or stick around the Valley, and I stuck in the Valley and kind of bounced around through some successful startups. Ultimately, got purchased at a company I was with at IBM, and spent a couple years at IBM before being part of another startup, which we sold, and then I came here and created DeviceBits.
So you actually had two acquisitions through the Wow, that's a pretty good track record. I was telling you, people listeners of the shows have heard this story many times, but I did 13 startups, two acquisitions and an IPO. Two acquisitions, I didn't make anything on it. The IPO, that was my big one. And that was number 13. Perseverance as an entrepreneur is the name of the game. So where'd you go to school at?
In Columbus. Yeah. Oh, yep. So Buckeye.
Okay. Yep. So you went to Ohio State?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Well, at least I'm safe. I'm not a Michigan guy, so you're not.
No Michigan, although we do have some people that went to Michigan that work for us, so it's an interesting office.
So football season betting is going to be pretty interesting.
And sometimes basketball. So we're in basketball season now.
That's true. So talk a little bit. You were at Bell Labs. What areas were you focusing in at Bell Labs?
So I worked in primarily the wireless division. Okay. So I was responsible for 3G network development. So before everybody launched 3G, we were building it in the lab out of Columbus and then Chicago.
Right.
So I was bouncing around a bit working on the 3G platform. When I moved to the Valley, we were specifically working on innovation for third world countries doing point-to-point high-speed network delivery.
Okay.
So deploying in places like Vietnam and some of Latin America, from the tops of a mountain down to the residential valleys, and providing high-speed internet to those individuals.
Okay. So you were at Bell Labs in the Valley then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I know a lot of people who were Bell Labs. But, you know, I don't know if you've had this experience, right? When I was at HP with HP Labs or IBM Research or Xerox PARC or Bell Labs, corporate R&D labs are, it's a hard road, right? It's because your only path to commercialization is the parent company.
That's right.
Yeah. Is getting them to accept your work. Otherwise, you do all this work and you might get a couple deployments just out of your experimental exercises, but
yeah.
You never get that traction.
Yeah, your innovation is in a vacuum, right? I mean, you're innovating on a specific problem that the company has versus kind of coming with a clean slate and thinking about what type of market problem am I trying to solve here? And so, it presents some challenges, obviously.
Well, it's also, I think, led to, in some cases, the demise of corporate R&D labs. You think about from the heyday when, you look at the number of Nobel Prizes Bell Labs researchers got awarded, or IBM Research, or, the work, I'm most familiar with the work at HP Labs, mm-hmm. or, Xerox PARC, and now you go, into those organizations, and they're like one-tenth the size, and, one-twentieth the funding, and it's really applied research versus, nobody's doing the fundamental science.
Yep. Yeah, I think a lot of those companies, as they got bigger, they've move to the acquisition of innovation, right? So they look for people out there who have creative ideas and can bring it to market. They're better at bringing it to market than they are at innovating it.
So. Yeah, well, and I think the problem is then the startup companies don't have the capital means to take a 20-year bet.
That's right.
Right? And it's interesting, in this case, one entrepreneur who impressed me immensely on this is Dr. Bo Sterios. He passed away a number of years ago. But he was developing an all-digital shock absorber system for vehicles. Now you think about Bo Sterios, but you think about the magnets that flex, speakers.
Right.
He was applying that to being able to be very responsive, very fast.
Wow.
And he funded that project to the tunes of, tens, hundreds of millions, maybe, over 35 years. He funded that product. He believed in it so long. He funded it for 35 years before it became a product. Name anybody who funds research for 35 years because they believe in it.
Yeah.
Nobody does
yeah.
that anymore.
Agreed.
And look, we're here at the Consumer Electronics Show, right? You're here talking to potential partners and clients and et cetera. And I'm spending, 5 days in the mobile studio talking to entrepreneurs, and you go walk that show floor and you see some amazing stuff. But the measurement of success is how fast can you go from innovation to revenue
versus rapid innovation, right? These companies have to present their next great product a year from now.
Right. You think about even the big guys, like, look, we saw Samsung and LG with their phenomenal 8K display, and you're like, okay. So last year was 4K, this year is 8K. Does that mean we're at 16K, and then we're at 32K and 64K display? Where does it end?
Right.
And is that really innovation, or is it really just obvious incrementalism, in the process? And I think that's one of the reasons why what we do with UpRamp is to try to find those companies that we think are doing real innovation, mm-hmm. not this little fringe stuff, but that can really transform and change industries, change businesses, change partners, have impact on people's lives, make people's lives more entertaining, better, less frustrating, whatever it is.
Yep.
And we review, 1,000 applications, and all those are, you have to be a real company with a real product with already having revenue before mm-hmm. we even look at you. And we pick 4. And I can tell you every year it gets hard to find 4, pick the 4, get really good companies, but it's, how do you find that real, that real innovation? But it's interesting, your background in Bell, when did you leave Bell Labs?
I left Bell Labs in 2001.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So this right before the Alcatel.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, it was still Lucent at that time.
Yes. Yeah. Before the big slide, and then the Alcatel buyout.
Yeah. So, yep. And then, yeah. The The CLEC bust.
Yes.
Yeah, right in the time frame of the dot-com blow-up.
When the dot-com started failing, it was trailing shortly after the CLEC did. And so.
Lucent, Nortel, all the companies kind of hit the skids at that point. So you stayed in the Valley at that point,
though. I did, yeah. So I stayed in the Valley another 5 years. Did a couple of small startups that did not go well. Ended up at a larger place called Rational Software.
Oh, yeah, I know the Rational, yeah.
Yeah, so ultimately they got acquired by IBM. So I worked with a lot of the key founding guys at Rational and, part of the integration team at IBM and stuck around there a couple of years.
Oh, interesting.
So good experiences.
I know the Rational. I had some experience with Rational.
Yeah, there's a lot of pioneers in the software space.
So then you achieve what I jokingly refer to as escape velocity. To get out of the Valley.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I did that, as I jokingly say with that. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get into what I want to talk about next is the problem you were looking to solve with Device Bits, right? There's always some catalyst.
Sure.
What was that spark or that catalyst that really caused you to say, not only do I have an idea, but I'm going to take that step to actually solve a problem. So
great.
When we come back, we're going to talk specifically about that problem. What was it that was that catalyst that triggered you to actually pull the ripcord and go off and do your next startup, and which turned into Device Bits? So don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back after this quick commercial break. As always, we have all the links and information for the show over at the show notes over at killerinnovations.com. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network. Carpenters have their hammers and saws, chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Rwanda is a shining example of how the global community can come together and rebuild a country after a devastating genocide. But there is still more that needs to be done. In the rural villages, students are crowded into schools with no electricity, no running water, no internet access, and limited sanitation. Will these kids be ready to continue the rebuilding of Rwanda, or will they be dependent upon others? Through education and employment, boys and girls have an equally promising future that can transform their struggling communities. For $20 a month, a child can be educated and a community strengthened. By supporting Pioneer Education Africa, a 501c3 charity, you partner with others to provide education that will prepare a generation to take on the task of self-reliance. 100% of the proceeds received go directly to the education of the children. Visit pioneereducationafrica.com to find out more.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
That's 800-915-9658.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We're picking up our conversation with regards to the founding and starting of DeviceBits. All right. What was the catalyst? What was the background? What was the problem you were trying to solve, JC? I'm trying to... Take, because, you know, people just don't go off and just start a company just to start the company, right? There's always some catalyst. What was the motivation?
Yeah, and so maybe rewind a little bit. My previous startup that I was a core team member of, we were solving the problem around mobile application testing and development, you know, prior to the iPhone and Android, launches. And so we watched our business grow from, you know, text messaging apps and maybe a Palm Trio or a BlackBerry device to the iPhone world and the Android world we live in today, where there are millions of applications out there, and not just gaming applications, but we then watch that next evolution into the enterprise, where the enterprise was really taking notice and playing a part in mobile applications and mobile-first sort of design. And so, you know, we ran that company for about 7 years and before we exited. And as I kind of scratched my head and thought, hey, what's next? And thinking about the challenges we had internally, you know, I started to think about, well, what are my own challenges? And we're all consumers, Phil. You're a consumer. You know, everybody at DeviceBits is a consumer. And we've all struggled. And day in, day out, we live on these devices now that we carry in our pocket, or these mini computers. And, you know, we struggle with different components or applications of that. And so, let alone trying to support our family members who maybe aren't techies and things. And so kind of that snowball effect of the frustrations I was seeing as my parents and my wife's parents and everybody started to adopt more technology and mobile technology, and said, you know what, this is a real space, and I have some perspective because I saw how big that market got in mobile application development and testing. And so now, how in the world are these companies going to set themselves apart in a library of millions of applications or hundreds of devices? And then, obviously, how are you going to scale your business in supporting the consumers out there that are going to be struggling with the products you're putting to market? And so from that, we created DeviceBits, which is an AI-focused customer service platform.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, well, one is, and I've been busting the chops of some of the people that have been on the show this week about, you know, everybody's attaching the AI, you know, moniker to everything. Sure. I saw Showstoppers the other night. I saw an artificially intelligent toilet. You know, pretty soon I'm waiting for the Alexa interface to the toilet, you know.
Right.
Alexa, please flush.
Flush.
in your case, though, AI hasn't really been applied to the customer service experience, right? It's always been kind of this, you know, brute force, hire 10,000 agents.
That's right.
Or it's been, you know, push more to the consumer to have to self-fix, right, self-help. Gosh forbid, you know, putting someone through IVR hell. You know, press one, you know, if you speak English. Press two if, If your question is about your bill, press 3. If your bill's past due, right. Press 4. You might get to an
agent.
Find
a consumer that likes that experience.
Right. Nobody does. Nobody does, right? And look, no business wants to create a bad customer experience.
Right.
Right? But there has to be a fundamentally better way.
Right. Yeah, you know, I think as we looked at this, and so some of our founding team members came out of the healthcare space, and so they looked at in healthcare, specifically oncology, you know, how do you create a pathway to treat a patient, right? As a consumer who has a problem, at some level, we're a patient, obviously much less serious than a cancer patient, but we're a patient still, and there's a pathway to getting to resolution. And in a lot of cases, a much more defined and known pathway than somebody trying to be treated for a disease or illness. And so, you know, taking that same sort of thinking and applying it into customer support is really where, you know, we thought, hey, concepts like personalized medicine or precision medicine, we can do this for customer support, and we can really apply some predictions, some algorithms, some artificial intelligence that are not just conceptual or academic, but repeatable across, you know, verticals and markets as a whole. And so, you know, that's really what we're focused on.
Yeah, it's interesting because it is, you do find things that are, you know, highly repeatable mm-hmm. in this space, right? So it's kind of like, why does the agent have to answer the exact same question over, across 10,000 phone calls
yep.
types of a thing? But it's hard to derive, right, unless you're like on the call yourself and in the, you know, and the best people who know that are the agents who are doing these calls today.
You're exactly right.
You know, and so therefore, how do you extract that information, or how do you identify those, you know, those patterns?
Yeah. So, you know, without getting too far into the product, you know, our thinking is exactly the same, right? So, you know, you could throw a group of engineers in a room for 10 days and lock the door and say, hey, we've got a real problem here. You know, figure out how to automate and fix this. But the reality is your experts are either your consumers who have been out there self-serving and fixing the problem, or your agents who are answering the thousands of phone calls per day that are coming in. And so why not build an application or a platform that actually collects that feedback into a continuous data loop that's self-improving over time, and using those experts versus locking the engineers in a room and doing it in a vacuum without real context of what customers are struggling with?
Well, it points to the typical problem, right, of a lot of organizations. You know, I'm going to throw my engineers at the problem,
right.
But the engineers aren't the ones on the front line, or two, aren't the target market.
That's right.
Right? You know, look, if we're the engineer, that means we more than likely are the family CTO.
Right.
Right? And so therefore we're fixing that problem, but we're not the one on the business side trying to solve it from a customer experience perspective.
Yep.
And that's where I think a lot of organizations miss out on bringing together the right team. If you're going to drive innovation, having that highly diverse team,
that's right,
that brings all, you know, engineers from, you know, what's possible from a technical perspective, but the customer service reps of, I'm in the front lines, you know, getting my ears chewed off by an upset customer, to the customers who are frustrated. Why do I even need to call? Why can't we just find a better way to fix this problem?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and, you know, I think we've taken a very similar approach if you could see the makeup of our team, right? And so everybody from our customer success team, who many of which have been, you know, we've all been consumers, but they've been, you know, teachers and call center agents and kind of your normal consumer out there in the marketplace who struggle with this, to PhDs that have, as I mentioned, studied, you know, life-threatening disease and how to treat and overcome those sorts of challenges.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, when I was at HP, I put in place a test called the Michelle test, which is my wife, who's a nurse and a complete Luddite, right? Has no interest in technologies. And I would bring home every product, and every product had to pass her test. If she couldn't figure out how to open the box, how to install it, how to run it,
yep.
You know, understand the value of it, and then found it valuable, meaning it did something that made her life better, easier, less stressful, mm-hmm. Then we didn't ship the product. And I think it was an eye-opener, because even for me, it was like, I didn't think about that.
Sure.
We overlooked this, or what about that? And so when we come back, we're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, we're actually going to dive into the product, mm-hmm. understand how it works, where it's being applied today, so who, some of your success stories around the technology and the product and how it's being used. And more importantly for me is what's been the perception from the users, from the end customers,
okay,
as far
sure.
as transforming and changing their overall experience. So don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to jump in and learn more about device bits, and we'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching BizTV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, BizTV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473. Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. Let's talk specifically about the product, DeviceBits. So, what's the status of the product today?
Sure. So, the product is out in market, installed across various vertical applications.
Is that primarily in the U.S. or all over the world?
Primarily in the U.S., yeah. Right. So a little bit scattered throughout Latin America, but right now those are the two focuses.
Yep. And so any specific industries, wide industries?
Sure. So when we jumped right into telecommunications, given my background, and it was an easy place to get to some revenue. And so we have probably our biggest install base in telco. Made a baby step into consumer electronics. Obviously, telco has a lot of consumer electronics tied to it. And then in the last year, launched into financial services, travel and hospitality, utility, and obviously with Cable Labs and the UpRamp program, we've now engaged with a dozen or more cable operators around the world. So.
Okay. So what's the typical use case for the product in your clients today?
Yeah, I think our clients come at it from really two angles. The first is the customer experience team. Hey, how do we create a better self-service experience for our consumers? There's a lot of buzz around bots and things like that, but the reality is bots is just a delivery mechanism in our eyes, and we have a bot platform, so not to discount it, but it's a delivery mechanism for self-service. Mm-hmm. And so we focus there for the customer experience marketing sales teams that may come to us and have an interest in what we're doing. But where we're seeing probably the most traction in the last 6 months is the call center operations. And so that may be employees or maybe an outsourced call center partner where they have thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of agents answering the phone and trying to figure out, hey, why is this agent answering the same question 95% of the time?
Right.
How do we build automation efficiency into this process? And so we take that sort of approach from a client perspective. We go after both of those angles and then obviously have products to support both types of users.
And so what kind of results have your clients seen with this kind of an deploying these kinds of an application?
Sure. So today we're deflecting around 2 million calls to the center per
really?
Month for our customers.
Is that total across all of your customers?
Yeah, so aggregated.
Yeah, 2 million.
Yeah, so and we're probably scratching the 2.5 now, but I know coming into mid last year we're at 2 million a month, and that's a combination of delivery through self service portals, mobile applications, virtual assistants. We're pushing all of this knowledge out through those different interfaces and bots,
mm-hmm.
and so on the flip side of that. We've enabled 20,000 customer care agents at our largest client today. They've reduced call handle times. They've increased agent accuracy by 12% since putting it in place. And so they're seeing great benefit from that. In fact, as we just come out of the Christmas season, there was a lot of pressure on us that they didn't want to go through the massive holiday hiring they had to do typically. They wanted to drive efficiency in their existing footprint so that they could handle that new volume without bringing on 3,000 additional agents
for right.
just that rush. Right. And so, we've successfully made it through the holidays with them and no interruption. And as far as we know, the service has been great.
And then do you have a way of measuring and understanding what the reaction's been from the actual end customers, the people who are actually the ones you're deflecting? What's been their experience?
Yeah, so, depending on the type of interface they come in through to self-serve, we're tracking sentiment and things like that. We're tracking resolution rates. We're also tracking things we aren't able to answer. That's more important, right? And so, our goal is to fail at number one. So the first time we can't answer the question, we want the system to build back that knowledge that that customer might need so that when the second customer asks that question, we
right.
can resolve that. And so, we see an 86% efficiency rating in self-service. So 86% of the customers that come there are able to actually successfully resolve. our largest client is the highest NPS score telecommunications provider in North America.
Really? I was going to get to the NPS score, because everybody in the telco world are big users of NPS.
Yeah. So NPS, CES is obviously customer experience score. So these are things that are coming into play now, but NPS is still the standard. And so, for that particular client, everything we touch has some flavor of NPS measurement, impact, dependency for them. So
yeah, interesting. So you said an 87% accuracy rate? 86% accuracy rate. Is there some categorization on where that's not accurate? Meaning it's such a weird question, issue that the...
Yeah, when you talk about interacting with a machine, right? And so one of the things that pretty much anybody that's in this space will tell you is the problem with the machine interaction today is, as humans, we tend to dump all of our problem into one statement. So, it's not just a singular problem. It's three or four problems I'm having. And so the ability for the machine to really break that down can create some confusion. So that's one category that we look at very closely. How do we break a customer's request or question into segments that are singular, so that we can actually answer it? The other one is just that the knowledge isn't there. And so that's part of the self-learning experience, right? You're never going to bat 1,000.
Right.
So the system's going to miss things, and the challenge is how do you backfill that as quickly as possible?
And it's also going to, I would guess, though, that there's questions that one person's going to ask that there is no second person ever asking it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah.
So therefore, you get the weird one-offs that just... You would say, okay, we missed on the accuracy on this one, so you capture the knowledge, but then nobody ever taps the knowledge again.
Right, and so what happens is we capture that knowledge machine-based first, so we're not investing human capital, but as we start to see an escalation in that same or similar request, then we can actually invest resource into building out additional collateral around that. So we can kind of give you the introductory answer with machine that doesn't cost anything in human capital. But then we can invest human capital as we track the usage.
So as you get more requests, it starts your own version of trending.
That's right.
If the trending starts to tick up and you say, okay, this is a more serious issue, let's commit some resources to build out this answer.
Yeah, we call it knowledge monitoring.
So. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, what you don't want is you don't... And this is where I think a lot of... Part of my argument against just everybody, big data is an answer, or machine learning is the answer, or AI is the answer, is where do you tick off on what you do in the machine versus when do you bring the human element in place, and not bringing it in too early, because then you're just thrashing the human resource problem.
Yeah, exactly. And we focused a lot and actually have some IP created around that handoff, right? And so a customer tries to self-serve through web, through social media, through text message, whatever it might be. Ultimately, they may go to a bot as their next step, or they may go to a human agent. But what's important is whoever picks it up, whether it's a bot or a human, the last thing we all want to do is start over, and we've all done it.
Oh,
hey,
man.
Go back and check the lights on that equipment and make sure the lights are on. Right? And so we're trying to reduce that customer frustration because we know they're coming into this center at a marginal experience at best at this point. So how do we not...
You're already in the hole.
Right. We don't want to take any further steps backwards. And so the other thing we're doing on the agent side is we're informing the agent what the customer's already tried and if they said it was successful or not. And so we call those trajectories. So what is that customer trajectory? Are they likely to return the equipment? Are they likely to churn? Are they likely to increase their spend with you?
So you're looking at... Okay, if everybody that had kind of a similar step, what did they do?
That's right. So
therefore, you can better predict what's going to happen with this person if you don't do something.
Right. And you build SOPs, operating procedures for your agents to say, hey, if you see this customer is on a trajectory to churn, we need to take a different course of action.
Right.
And if they're not. So.
So it's actually also then really not just self-help, but it's also that guiding tool for the agent.
That's right.
For the live agent to say, okay, this person's been interacting with the machine. It's come to me. Now I've got that ability to see the experience they've had through this interaction and actually short circuit, a bad outcome.
That's right.
Whether it's a churn or...
Right. Yeah, the last thing that frustrated customer wants to do is spend another 20 minutes trying to solve their problem.
So. Exactly. Yep. Interesting. So we're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going into the segment that we have on our show where we ask our guests to kind of go back and look through their entire history of being an innovator, entrepreneur, and now you've got all that history behind you. If you could go back to the beginning and give yourself a piece of advice, what would that advice be? So I'm going to give you the commercial break here. You get a chance to think about it. When we come back, he's going to share with us then his piece of advice over his experience of, you know, if you could go back and talk to, you know, the 25-year-old version of yourself.
Sure.
And give yourself that one piece of advice, what would that be? So stay right there. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network.
Carpenters have their hammers and saws, chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself. But come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done! Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. That's 800-306-1760.
Greece is cheap,
but the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. This is the part of the show where we ask our guests to share if you had perfect hindsight experience, and given everything that you've learned being an innovator, a researcher at a major research center like Bell Labs, your startup experience, your experience with device bets, and you could go back and give yourself an advice as, you know, as a 20-year-old or a 25-year-old, what advice would you give yourself?
Sure. Yeah, the list is long, but, I think, well, one, you know, putting yourself in the place where these types of opportunities happen, you know, when it wasn't by luck that I ended up in Silicon Valley, so I think that was a big part just personally for my own personal development. And the big lesson learned. But, you know, what I picked up after I got to the Valley and have learned and even at Device Bits have made some missteps is, you know, the team is critical, right? And so, you alluded to it earlier, Phil, you can't put a group of like-minded individuals all in a room and really expect to innovate. And so you've got to have characteristics and skill sets that are complementary but also sometimes conflicting. And, you know, that's what in our organization drives a lot of our innovation. There's a lot of passionate conversations that happen in our meeting rooms. And so, you know, I would say, you know, that's my biggest lesson learned, even as of 3 years ago when I started Device Bits. You know, I'd probably think about the team a little differently, knowing the direction we've come over the last 36 months.
Yeah, the team is interesting. Even my own experience from the startup that I did my IPO on, we were on a unbelievable tear, growth wise. You know, I had to hire 8 people a day, 7 days a week for 18 months to meet the growth curve. Right? It's just so basically, could you fog a mirror, and did you have a heart rate?
Right.
You know, type of a thing, with no emphasis, no appreciation for culture. Then I got to HP, and culture was everything.
Yeah.
You know, Bill and Dave established. So in your case, when you talk about teams, just the individual or the culture Device Bits?
It's absolutely the culture. And so, you know, in hindsight, you know, in my opinion, I worked in one of the best cultures that's ever existed in software, and that's Rational. So, the development of that organization and honestly the handpicking it felt like they did of everybody at Rational and how everybody, you know, worked together as a unified entity, you know, in hindsight, I realized that didn't just happen by chance. That was very much deliberate.
Yeah.
And so, as I've matured in my own career, I've come to realize that. And as I said, even in the last 3 years, I think I've become more wise to it being in the role that I'm in now,
right,
as CEO, and seeing the hires we're making. And as I said, I think we've done a good job. We'll always strive to improve that as our market changes.
Well, it is interesting, right? Because, you know, I was a CEO for some really smaller entities or whatever, but when I took over at Cable Labs, and I came out of a phenomenal culture at Hewlett Packard, right? Just unbelievable. Bill Hewlett, David Packard, we're very deliberate, great culture. But I came into the organization with a great culture, right? And then when you go and you're the CEO in an organization and it's your responsibility to build the culture.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but there was a lot of stumbling.
Yeah.
Okay? When you come into an organization with a great culture and you just get to, you know, immerse yourself in it is one experience.
Yep.
When it's your job to go define the culture, police the culture, structure the culture, that's hard.
It's very hard. And, you know, and there's a balance, too, right, of your own personal characteristics, right, that you have to take into consideration. And you know, just reflecting back and, you know, Mike Devlin and Paul Levy that built Rational, and then the many around them, John Lovett and Walker Royce and Grady Booch, and you know, the pioneers of a software development process. And, you know, knowing those guys and meeting those guys, you realize, hey, they may come across as brash, but they're credible. And so that's what we focus a lot on with our own organization. Like, you know your swim lane really, really well. And no matter how brash you may appear, everybody respects the knowledge that you have and what you bring to the organization. And that's proven very well for us.
Yeah, actually, that is interesting, right? It's, you know, what I've found in organizations is where titles really don't matter.
That's right.
You earn your credibility.
Yep.
And you earn your credibility by your knowledge, expertise, your willingness to share, you're willing to collaborate. People want to work with you versus people see you in the hallway and turn around and go the opposite way because they don't want to have a conversation with you.
That's right.
Kind of the thing.
So Brian, our CTO, will tell you I'm probably the best tester we have inside of our organization. And I laugh. I say, well, maybe I just buy too much junk off the internet because I'm the ultimate consumer. So I test our product like I'm a consumer. So, but it is the joke that the second I touch everything, I tend to find how to break it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we laugh about that a lot. But yeah, title means nothing. You know, it's, you know, everybody has a responsibility to contribute to our organization.
I think the whole move to flat organizations is really getting out of titles and et cetera. I think is fundamental. So hey, Device Bits, congratulations! You guys have just really been crushing it. You know,
you.
Your engagement on the UpRamp Federator program at Cable Labs has been phenomenal. The feedback from the industry has been great on your product, so congratulations on that.
Good.
If people want to get in contact with you, track what you're up to, follow what you're doing, what's the best way for them to follow you?
Sure. So we're pretty active on our website at devicebits.com. You know, you can get white papers, the latest news, press releases, customer success stories are all out there. You can even sign up for a quick trial if you want to check out what we're doing. And then, you know, on pretty much any social media outlet, we're at Device Bits as well.
So okay. And we'll put all those links up on the show notes. So
great.
Make it easy for everybody. Check it out. You know, you've probably heard me be pretty negative on AI. This is one of those areas where it's real versus the AI toilet. It was highlighted at Showstoppers earlier this week. So with that, we're going to wrap up today's show. Appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to follow us and subscribe. If you're not a subscriber to the show, hop on over. You can do that over at iTunes, Google Play. We're now on Spotify and the iHeart app, SoundCloud, and pretty much any of the music, audio sources that are out there. Follow us. If you've got a suggestion or a guest who you think would be great on the show, drop me a note, phil@killerinnovations.com. And with that, we're going to wrap this up. My advice to you is don't let the innovation antibodies get you down. Don't let the critics take away your excitement around the innovations you're working on. Get out there, take those innovations, turn them into real products, real technologies, real solutions, real offerings, and go out there and change the world. And we'll talk to you next week here on Killer Innovations. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.